What is up, you guys? Welcome to another edition of Controversial Thoughts. This is another on the road edition of this little mini podcast, but I wanted to share a few of my thoughts about my trip to Tanzania. There's going to be a whole podcast coming about this next week, hopefully with my buddy Anthony Gustin, who I went with, but I want to do a few micro shares before that happens. I talked about this in my newsletter this morning. If you are not subscribed to my newsletter, go to heartandsoil.co. I write little daily newsletters with stuff that I hope will be helpful for you guys, and then longer editions on Sunday, which include science and all kinds of other good stuff that I've been thinking about throughout the week. But one of the thoughts I had this morning, and what I want to talk about briefly in this little controversial thoughts video, is the thing that I missed most while I was in Tanzania. And I think that this was definitely the ability to control my own food completely, to know where all of my food was coming from. If you guys heard the podcast earlier this week with my friend Monsel Denton about hunting and whether it's a fundamental part of the human experience, you'll have some idea of the fact that when you are hunting, our history as humans is as hunter-gatherers. And these people that I stayed with in Tanzania, the Hadza, are some of the last remaining hunter-gatherers on the planet. When you hunt and gather your food, when I spent time walking in the bush with them, walkabout, quote unquote, we knew exactly where the food we were eating had come from. We killed a baboon, we killed a genet cat, we killed a small cat in the bush. We killed a bush baby, which is also known as a galago. It's a small nocturnal primate. And we killed a couple of dikdiks, which are small ruminants, like very mini deer. We also gathered a few baobab fruit along the way, which are delicious, by the way, and honey in the bush when we found little tiny straws that these either stingless bees use to make canoa in the baobab or other trees, or stinging bees, which have full-on hives in other trees as well. So we were hunting and gathering food. We knew exactly where it was coming from. There were no additives. There were no pesticides. There were no seed oils. There was no processed sugar. There were no colorings. There were no flavorings. There were no dyes. There was nothing funky in our food. We knew exactly where it was coming from. And when we were hunting these animals, we knew what we were getting. And then we would take them back to camp and cook them very fresh over a fire. And those were some of the best meals I've had in my life. Those were definitely the best meals and the best food I had while I was in Tanzania. Being in the cities and towns, which are, quote, more modern or modernized or, quote, civilized, the food quality was much lower. And it was much more difficult to control my food, despite the fact that at every junction, I talked to my guides and the waiters and the people who are serving us food in the towns. And I tried to communicate to them through Swahili, which is obviously a language barrier, but some of them spoke some English, that I didn't want seed oils, that I didn't want sauces, that I didn't want anything funky in my food. I just wanted them to take meat and put it on a grill and grill it. And that was very hard. And there were a number of times on my trip that I got meat that clearly had some kind of seed oil or some kind of non-tallow, non-animal fat on it. That they cooked it in, that this in their modernized, civilized world has become more of the norm. Unfortunately, seed oils have crept into even rural Tanzania, and you would see them on the side of the road. There would be, you know, roadside stands everywhere with fruit that was grown locally, probably sprayed with some degree of pesticide, unfortunately, because we would see that as well. And then we would also see just plastic bottles of seed oils. And it was so ironic talking to one of the guides from our trip, saying that he's been told by his physician to not eat animal fat, to not eat tallow, because animal fat and red meat causes diabetes, according to this guy. In the next sentence, he's telling me this doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm hearing what you're doing, Paul. And I remember the story of my grandmother, he's telling me, who lived to 110. And this is just one anecdote. And who knows if that record keeping was accurate with her age, but she actually told him, his name is Gasper. She actually told Gasper, if you want to be my friend, bring me animal fat, bring me cow fat. Don't bring me these, quote, flour, referring to sunflower oils. And when you go to the grocery stores, quote unquote, in Tanzania, I was specifically in Arusha and other small towns, they have seed oils on the shelf. And next to it, they have tallow often. And the seed oils are much more expensive than tallow. So there's this total distortion of what is actually healthy. And they're really 20 to 30 years behind in terms of their medical knowledge. And no one there in the medical establishment that I came in contact with in any way, shape, or form is questioning the notion that these seed oils might be problematic for humans. But as you will hear in the podcast that I'm going to do with Anthony Gustin, observationally, the correlation is clearly there, as I've said multiple times. The Hadza don't eat any seed oils. They have all animal fat. They look very healthy. They do not suffer from chronic disease. You move into the cities, people become obese, fat, and rates of diabetes are skyrocketing. Now, there are many variables. This is not a causative inference that I'm trying to draw, just an observation and really trying to reconstruct or reverse engineer in my mind things that might even be correlated or be connected with this explosion of diabetes. It was really fascinating to see it play out because there is a stark contrast. In Tanzania, you have this group of hunter-gatherers that still exists. They are quickly vanishing, but there's really not many other places on the planet like this. Perhaps Namibia, where I want to go very soon once it reopens from coronavirus and see the sun. But this contrast doesn't exist many places on the planet. We saw it distinctly here. But the meals with the Hadza were clean. We hunted the food. We knew exactly where it was coming from. The meals in the cities, we couldn't control. It was so frustrating and so difficult. So that was really the thing I missed most when I was in Tanzania. And it began to highlight the fact that if we want to be optimally healthy, we need to do our own research. I hope to be able to offer you all information that I find compelling and give you data that you can use to make your own choices in your life. And whatever we decide that we think is the most clear way to health, we need to be able to control our food and do that. We need to make intentional choices every day of our life. We cannot leave our health up to someone else. That doesn't work. You can go to a restaurant and they might think that cooking in seed oil is healthy because they've been told that, or they might think that cooking in seed oil is going to make the food taste the best for you. Or you might go to a doctor who thinks a seed oil is healthy because it lowers your LDL, but it, you know, that may not actually be part of a paradigm that holds any water, as I've spoken about in the past with regard to cholesterol. But that's not your decision. You have to take your own initiative and decide, and then you have to be in positions as best as possible where you can control that food and make the choices that you believe are most healthy. Because if you leave your food up to someone else, if you leave your health up to someone else, you're going to suffer the same fate as everyone else, which is a inexorable progression to diabetes and chronic disease. And that is why I do this work, because I have rebelled against that for many decades now in my life. And I have believed that if we do what everyone else is doing, if we do even what is considered in the mainstream to be healthy, we don't end up being healthy. We don't end up with radical health, vitality, vigor, energy, strength, emotional clarity, poise, you know, the intention to go work out. We don't end up with these things, libido, good sleep, a good mood. That's not what happens when we try and make the choices that are, when we try and make choices, or when we make choices that are based upon what we are told is healthy in the mainstream or is good for us in the mainstream. That simply doesn't happen. Even when we try and make quote healthy choices, rates of diabetes and chronic disease are skyrocketing despite increased adherence to what is considered healthy in the mainstream. So we have to break outside of this. We have to challenge this norm. We have to think for ourselves. And that's why it's so cool to spend time with the Hadza, because they are living the way that humans have lived for millions of years. They are truly a time machine. They're not perfect. They're clearly adulterated. The missionaries have been there. They are eating ugali, which is cornmeal sometimes. And I'll talk about that on the full podcast next week with Anthony Gustin. But for the majority of their diet, they are eating foods they have hunted and gathered. There's no seed oil, there's no processed sugar, there are no preservatives, and they are not suffering chronic disease. So we need to study this, and the juxtaposition is fascinating. While I was in Tanzania, it was super frustrating to not be able to control these things sometimes. Thankfully, I had brought deer jerky that I had made from deer that I'd hunted earlier this year. I'd also brought desiccated organ supplements from Hardened Soil. So I had these things as a backup. This is why we do what we do at Hardened Soil. This is why I do what I do as a physician and someone that wants to contribute valuable things to you. in terms of how we can navigate this twisty, windy, dark, dank, muddy path to health, because we've just been told so many things that are incorrect. And the Hadza give us a clear light to where we've been as humans. And that's what was fascinating to me about it, and the juxtaposition with what was unable or very difficult to do in mainstream, quote, Tanzania, in the cities and towns, was striking. So when I couldn't get good food, I would eat the deer jerky. I would use the supplements that we had from Hardened Soil. If you need more of those, check us out at Hardened Soil. Bone Matrix is coming soon. I brought beef organs and histamine immune and gut and digestion, and those saved my butt. And if I sound like a prima donna, it is only because I take this all very seriously. I take my health seriously, and I hold that up in my life as one of my major priorities. Yeah, a couple of times on the trip, I had to eat food that wasn't perfect, and I did it, and it was fine. I didn't die, but I didn't always feel great when I did it. And I know that if we fall into the trap of becoming lazy with our intention around our food, our health will suffer. And for me, that's the most important thing in my life, because that is the lens through which I get to live this life. Those are the glasses through which I see the world, my mental clarity, my energy, my libido, my sleep. All of these things are directly linked to the quality of the food I eat. And I really value in the US being able to control that and put the intentions that I have into practice. So those are my quick thoughts about the hardest part of my trip to Tanzania, the massive juxtaposition with the way the Hadza eat. There's a lot more coming here, guys. Sign up for my newsletter at hardandsoil.co if you want to hear my thoughts over the next few weeks. Get the Sunday newsletter, which is longer. Get the daily little snippets of what I'm thinking about. Lots of good science and thoughts in there. And look for the podcast next week with Anthony Gustin. Like I said, if you need more of these organs in your diet, if you are not feeling radically healthy, I believe we can help. Check us out at hardandsoil.co. Send me an email, drpaul@hardandsoil.co. Let me and my team troubleshoot your diet a little bit with the carnivore diet or an animal-based diet, and let us make some recommendations about which supplements might be best for you, because we know the Hadza were eating nose to tail for sure. And it was so cool to do that with them. So stay radical, you guys. I love you all. Excited to share more content in the very near future.